from the studies, because of finals this last week, and I have finals this week, everything has to be done and submitted by 8 a.m., daylight savings time, on Friday. I have 3 term papers to write. Oh, my God. What was I thinking? But I'm a glutton for punishment. Now, does that bring in a little stress? Yes, it does. Does life bring a little stress? Yes, it does. So, after I left here on Sunday, last week, I'm over at the parsonage, and I'm puttering around doing some things, and I'm getting ready to start my studies. I make the mistake, I say that tongue-in-cheek, I make the mistake of going to the Pandora channel and putting on, I like to listen to Imperials, Amy Grant, Michael Wilson, a lot of the old-time stuff. Well, for me, it's old-time, but 60s, 70s, 80s, all that sort of thing for on the Christian side of the world. So I'm listening to these things, and all of a sudden I tear up, and I just break down. And here I am in tears, and I'm walking around the house going, I don't understand, God. What is going on? What are you doing to me? And I don't hear anything. All I'm doing is in lots of tears. I'm going through the Kleenex. I don't understand what's happening. And all of a sudden it hits me. Do you ever have that moment where the lightning hits you? And it goes, Dave, you're suffering from a restless heart. And I stop. And I go, I am? Now, because I'm not the guy that sits down and prays. I have to be walking around. I got to be moving, keep the blood going to the brain. So here I am running around the house going, restless heart, restless heart. What does that mean? A restless heart. And then voice number 2 comes through. Dave, you don't have any peace because you have a restless heart. Because you have things that you're working through that you haven't finished working through. Well, that kind of makes me stop and think for a second and wipe my eyes, and I go, oh, that's a sermon for next Sunday. So you are getting a chance to listen at a little more personal level, 35,000 feet, as far as peace and a restless heart. We get to have a little bit of dialogue here this morning. And those of you that were at Emmaus yesterday, you've already heard some of this. But the restless heart can be looked at negatively, or it can be looked at in a positive manner. The negative is, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? I'm falling apart. The positive side of the restless heart is, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Oh, I've got things to work on. Because it says, the Bible says, that we have these trials, it says it in James 1, that we have these trials come through to help perfect us. So let's think about a couple of things here. 2 Timothy is really my... Can you bring 2 Timothy back up, Chris? So 2 Timothy is really a very personal book or a letter between Paul and Timothy. Timothy is a young man who in many ways is very timid. He has lots of anxiety. He has lots of worry. At this point in time, when 2 Timothy is being written, it's assumed by the theologians of now that Paul is already in jail in Rome, and his execution is like any time, any moment, any day, that sort of thing. The letter is more of a, it's not a rebuking letter like some of the other letters are. It's a very, it's a lot of exhortation. It's between Paul and Timothy, where Paul is more parochial, or patriarchal. It's much more of a father to a son. So it's a much more personal type of letter. Even though it's directed really to Timothy, we can all draw upon it. That's part of why it's part of the canon, part of the 66 books of the Bible. So let's start off with number 1. What is peace? We're not talking world peace. We're talking personal, spiritual peace. What is peace? Who wants to give me an answer? Oh, do we have a mic up here? Good deal. Have Mike, we'll talk. Who wants to give me a quick chance on it? All right. Go for it, Caprina.
assurance that God is with you through whatever you're going through.
Okay. So he is with you. Who wants to add to that? Any other brave people? Caverland. I might as well just stand right out here in the aisles.
Really simple. I think it's just a calmness deep within you that probably comes from God.
Okay.
It's nothing that you find in yourself. It's just something that you can find, through any trial.
Okay. From my personal perspective, and I've talked a little bit about this. I've touched on it over the last few years, seems like years, over the few months here. I'm cutting in and out a lot here. When I was in that Christian cult out there in San Jose, I know what it was like to have no peace of God. I know what it's like. To me, God was not present. When my wife at the time, when she and I were released from that cult, we felt doomed. No peace, no love, no anything from God. We figured that we might as well go sin all we want, do any of the horrible things that we want, because it's not going to matter any, because I am headed to hell. There is no go see God first. I'm going to be right at the elevator that shoots ExpressWise right to hell, because that's where I knew I was going. Now, obviously, I recovered from that because I'm standing here today in front of you and with you. But I know what it's like not to have the peace of God. And it's a horrible thing. Any of you felt here lately, I don't have the peace of God in me at all. It's fleeting. I don't know where it's at. I'd sure like to have a dose of it back. I'd really love to have it back. Well, you do have it. Even if it's sometimes if it's a little hidden, you do have it. What sort of things get in the way of you having peace with God? What's your number one thing that you have it at this moment? What's your number one item that gets in the way? You don't have to say it out loud. Could it be anger? Hatred? You're coveting something? You want something so desperately you'll do anything you can? Is it bitterness, a root of bitterness? Could be a multitude of things that get in the way of having the peace of God. What happens to you? Now, this is, again, let's go back to the interactive here. What sort of things happen to you? What do you feel? What do you think when you don't have the peace of God in you? When you don't feel the peace of God, what's going on inside? Anybody like to volunteer? Verlaine, go ahead.
Well, I would say that I find myself scattered and just not going in any particular direction, and the mind's just ping, ping, pinging from thought to thought to thought. That's where I go.
But that's, it's like the proverbial ping pong ball inside a big box car. You're just hitting everything and you're not being able to stop. Or you're this spinning top that many of us had when we were kids. Wayne, what about you? You're holding the mic there as I put you on the spot. You don't know? Who else wants to volunteer? You what? Stress. Stress is huge. That's what happens when you don't have the peace of God. So you go, Dave? Okay, go ahead. Sue? Lots of confusion. I know it's there's chaos, confusion. You feel directionless. Scared. Sure. Because I've wondered different times, has any of you ever put your hands up, have wondered, even though you know the saving grace of God, have you ever wondered what it would be like to be without God? I have. And I have not wanted to know. I have not wanted to experience that. I've already had that, the lack of peace of God, as I was in that cult and coming out of that cult. I already understand that. It made me a little crazy. But it took some time, and it started to come back. All right, so I'm going to ask you to pull out the Bibles from the pews there in front of you. Let's go through some things. these are not items that are deeply theological. No, these are practical steps to obtaining peace of God. Nothing hard. First one, let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James, Peter, and John are three incredibly powerful sets of letters. There is so much meat in there. James 1, verses 2 through 4. So you'll have a little bit different. I've got the New American Standard Version, or I think you have the Revised Standard. The what? NIV. Okay, New International Version. Okay, so James 2 through 4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So for me, to not have peace is not necessarily a bad thing. What you can use that as is God speaking to you, saying, you're in a trial. We are working some things out in you. We are working on perfection. Go to James chapter 1. We're still in James. Now go to verse 22. Whereas James 1, 2 through 4 is really a trial, but it's also about repentance. Go to God and say, I'm sorry. I'm struggling with this. I want to work through this. Take it away from me. But James 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. It goes in with the other verses. It says, you are saved by faith, but you also have to do work. Because that's the outward sign of the inward work that's in your heart as a result of faith. So number one is repent. Number two is be a doer. Don't just sit back. Get involved. Whether it's in your church, whether it's in the community, things at work. Now, a doer doesn't mean planting gardens or, you know, not just the soup kitchen. It could be nothing more or as simple as your personal witness to those around you. Whether it's to your family, coworkers, or people you meet on the street. There's another part. It's prayer and fasting. It comes out of Matthew. So we've talked about repentance. We've talked about doing. The third one is prayer and fasting. And I've talked about fasting before. The thing about fasting is it's humbling. You are purposefully not eating. That's a humbling thing to do because your brain is wired to your stomach. Your stomach is wired to your brain. And it says you're hungry. You need to eat. But when you humble yourself, you're denying the flesh. That's really what you're dealing with is the flesh, the inner man. The old man is the flesh. The new man is the spirit. And the spirit is in control saying, I can do this. I will do this. Now let's flip over to Peter. Let's go to chapter 1 of 1 Peter. So 1 Peter 1, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 18. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts that were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy also in all your behavior. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the One who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Conduct yourselves in fear. And fear also means reverence during the time of your stay on earth. knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Okay, and then let's flip over to chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, as you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Long for the pure milk. Long for the word of God. Long for the Spirit of God to work in your life. Now let's go to James 1. No, I see. We already did that one. James 1. Finally, 1 Peter 1. Stay within the book of Peter. 1 Peter 1. Verses 22 and 23, first chapter of Peter, verses 22 and 23. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Take in the word of God. Take in the Spirit of God. When it comes to you, when you're in your private prayer time, or you're in your car, or you're at work, you're in the shower, when the Spirit of God descends upon you, listen to what the Spirit says. It could be a simple thing of, go tell your neighbor that you'd like to help them in their yard. Or tell your coworker, hey, can I take you out for lunch? Or go up to somebody and say, you look like you're in pain, whether it's spiritually, in their heart, whatever. Can I pray for you? Go out in boldness. Go out in boldness. Be that witness. So we've covered some things here. You want the peace of God? I want the peace of God. Go in prayer before God and go, I repent of my sins, Lord, and show me what I don't know, because God's faithful to do that. Be a doer. Not just say you're a Christian. Be that Christian. Be, know, go do. Prayer and fasting. You need the prayer and fasting. You need that, because that helps to make you stronger when you're in the Lord. Fix your hope on God's grace. It's His grace. It's His power. Gets you to move to begin with, but also helps keep you moving. God's trials. You think you don't have any peace, but when you're going through a trial and you have God's peace in you, you have His grace in you, you will endure. You will be successful. You will come out on the other side shining and glowing, and you can use that to tell other people that are going through the same thing. Tell them, I did it, so can you. Here's how I did it. And don't go, Pastor Dave said this. Go, here's what the Bible's told me. Here's what the Spirit of God told me. And then share that. Be bold. And finally, let's go to Philippians 4. I love Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. I love these verses. I have used these so many times through my own life when I'm going through all these crazy trials and tribulations. You know, I kid people. I say, I like to be a joy and a trial and tribulation in your life. And I take that in all joy. I say that with tongue in cheek. I do it with a smile on my face. But at the same time, how does God look at it? Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So be anxious for nothing. Yeah, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing. When I'm having a major anxiety attack, I'm hanging on to that verse. I've got a death grip on it, and it's turning red from lack of blood flow because I'm going, I'm hanging on this thing. So let's say it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. The peace of God that will be upon you. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's from Paul. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So the things that I just gave you, practice them. Now, this is not the all-purpose list. This is not the everything all-inclusive list. But this will get you going. If you're having problems with peace, there's a reason for it. And what God's doing is he's calling you. He's saying, come forward. Come pray with me. Come hang out with me. Let's chat. God really does want to have a conversation with you. And even if you're stumbling and bumbling and going, God, I don't know what to pray, he's still there going, it's okay, I'm hanging out here with you. Let's go for a walk. Let's sit down and have a cup of coffee. Of course, he's got a big cup of coffee. But have a cup of coffee with him. You know, all those kinds of things. Can all of you say amen over that? Amen. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Where are you at? You ready? So here's what we're going to do. I'm changing up the order of the end of the sermon or the end of the service here just a touch. So what I'm going to ask you is when we go to do offering, I'm just going to ask you to just go ahead and put it in the two plates that are up here. Because I'm going to ask you to step out in a little faith of boldness, courage, that kind of stuff. And if you'd like me to pray for you or to anoint you with oil and just ask for the peace of God to be upon you, I want you to come on up here. Come on up here. Even the kids. I'd love to anoint the kids too. But come on up here and let me anoint you with oil. Put the peace of God upon you while Janice is playing. And then I'm going to ask you to just stay up here and then we'll finish out the service from up front here. Okay? So whoever wants to come forward, come on forward and I'll anoint you with oil.